All right, my next guest, Brian Peacock. He's the host of Locked On 49ers podcast. He's a friend of the show. He comes on all the time, and we rarely talk Niners in the offseason, but there's some news. It's the OTAs, obviously quarterback stuff all the time in these parts. Brian Peacock joins the show. What's going on, Brian? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just enjoying another offseason of the quarterback wars as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers.
Do you ever remember a time with the 49ers when they were this good and they didn't have a quarterback?
I mean, I wasn't really old enough to remember what was going on in the talk shows about the Montana versus Young days, but man, it seems like it's just a thing with this franchise.
So what's going on? It's week two of the OTAs, the quarterback competition, I guess, between Trey Lance and Sam Darnold. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's interesting because and John Lynch was on Sirius Radio talking about this, and he didn't really change his stance on Brock Purdy about him being leader in the clubhouse ahead of the other two. But he did say for the first time that, well, just because he's leader in the clubhouse doesn't mean there's not a competition for number one. So there is still a competition not only for number two and three, but there's a competition for number one still. And it sounds like, judging by Sam Darnold taking the snaps with the ones this week at OTAs versus Trey Lance last week, and Kyle Shanahan said last week that just because Lance took them this week, that they'll even those out. And true to his word, Sam Darnold was taking snaps with the ones this week at OTAs. So very, very much too early to handicap, especially with Brock Purdy just starting his throwing program as well this week. So a lot of news about it, but I just think it's a little bit too early to read too much into anything except for the fact that we still don't know, and it could be any of the three that starts week one for the 49ers.
I can't handle this, dude. This is giving me anxiety. So Brock Purdy's hitting all the timelines, it sounds like. John Lynch said as much. He's begun his throwing program. I heard Greg Papa talking the other day about it's a lighter football, whatever. I'm glad he's throwing, and it seems like he's going to heal 100%. But how's he doing? What's the news on Brock Purdy that you know of?
Yeah. I mean, the news is that he's hitting all the marks he needs to on time or even slightly ahead of time. So being on time, no setbacks is the key here. And, you know, you don't want to rush him. And that's sort of the worry I see it with the 49ers. And you know, my opinion on the 49ers quarterback situation is, you know, Sam Darnold is a talented guy, but just we've got too much tape on him being bad in the NFL. And even if he's at his best with the 49ers and coaching and their weapons, how good is Sam Darnold's best versus what we still don't know that Trey Lance can be? And you don't want to rush Brock Purdy back and have that setback. So to me, it's all about Trey Lance right now, this offseason, this training camp, just to get as much information as you can, because there's really no sample size on what he is. And if he starts the season and you're not really rushing things with Brock Purdy, I think that's okay. Learn, see it through a little bit with Trey Lance is where I'm at on this whole thing. But really the key with Brock Purdy is how much he'll be able to do, because they keep talking about him being around for training camp. But the question is, when is he fully cleared? Is he so cleared that he can participate fully in camp and be doing 11-on-11s in practice and actually play some preseason football games? Or will he get cleared after that point and he'll only be partially participating in camp? Or will he be on the PUP and just throwing on the side when training camp opens? So how much Brock Purdy can compete himself and be on the practice field? Is he just doing some, you know, shorts and t-shirt work and throwing, you know, in 7-on-7s or, you know, just 1-on-1s with the DBs or just throwing on air or whatever it is. So that'll be one of the things once camp gets going here in July, is how much is Brock Purdy participating and how close is he to actually being someone that you can say, we're ready to go and we've seen enough. And once he is 100% cleared for contact, then he's the guy and we'll just put him in the game.
Is he going to do his rehab on Jimmy Garoppolo Field, the one they renamed after him, where they just field six with the garbage cans on it all by himself, and they're just going to send him over there to do his rehab where Jimmy hung out?
Jimmy Garoppolo, Dr. Disrespect, and Brock Purdy just as far away from the media as possible and throwing balls.
Yeah, they had a ceremony. We've decided to name it Jimmy G Field. It's where quarterbacks go by themselves to throw by themselves. Talking to Brian Peacock, it was a Locked On 49ers podcast. Nice enough to join us today, tonight, whatever it is. Steve Wilks, the new defensive coordinator. What do we know about it? I know he's a secondary coach. That's good. He can coach some guys up. Some of the draft picks, the kid from Penn State. That looks good, but big shoes to fill, right?
Yeah, huge shoes to fill. And at this point, you start asking the question, well, was it Robert Saleh's defense or D'Amico Ryan's defense or Steve Wilkes' defense? Or has it kind of been Kyle Shanahan's defense all along? And I know Kyle Shanahan said in his defensive coordinator search that he didn't want to change much. So Kyle Shanahan likes the scheme that the 49ers are running, so I wouldn't expect a big change. But just listening to Steve Wilkes talk a couple of times, he's mentioned being aggressive. He's mentioned the blitz.
Yeah.
And so maybe he might want to bring a few more bullets at teams and maybe blitz some linebackers. And so we'll see what that ends up looking like. It's really hard to know what thumbprint Steve Wilkes will put on the team because he's bounced around so much recently and had just really short tenures in so many places. So I would expect, as far as the defensive scheme goes, that not much changes at all, and it's just some minor tweaks here and there. We'll see how he employs the secondary because he is comes from that defensive background, and then maybe a little bit more aggressive, maybe a few more blitzes here and there. But I wouldn't expect a big change on D.
I can't imagine being a quarterback. I'd be like, Red 22, Omaha, Omaha. Oh my God, Fred Warner's blitzing. Like that would I would say that, I feel like, if I was a quarterback and he was like, get it, you could tell he was going to blitz, because I don't recall the linebackers blitzing that much, because it takes, to me, their athleticism away and their instincts from reading the play and how quick they are to get to the ball. So I might be wrong in saying this, but I feel like I focused on the defense a lot last year. I don't remember the linebacker. I mean, Hufanga blitzed a lot, but I don't remember the linebackers blitzing a lot last year.
Yeah, the timing Hufanga had with those blitzes. And
crazy.
Rookie third rounder Jair Brown brings a lot of that as well, a lot of similarities to Hufanga, and he can blitz too. And obviously Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are super athletic. But the 49ers have, in recent history, they blitz occasionally, but they like to get pressure with four. And Chris Kocurek has clutched those guys up and done so well with that wide nine front, and they've gotten pressure on quarterbacks and have so much talent up front that they can then employ those athletic linebackers in coverage and make things difficult there. So I think they'll still try to do that, but I'm really interested to see what Wilkes has up his sleeve. There's a few more wrinkles in there with the blitz.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
What rookie is going to make the most impact? Is it going to be Jake Moody? I feel like it's going to be Jake Moody, but Jair Brown looks like a player. I'm drawing a blank on the kids, the wide receiver from Michigan, too. I feel like he's going to make an impact.
Yeah, Ronnie Bell, I think this draft class is interesting, and I didn't give the 49ers a great grade on this. And, of course, you can't truly grade a draft class for 3 years, so we'll find out. But one of the things the 49ers have done so well and historically well is those day three picks, those fifth rounders. And, the literal last pick in the draft being a quarterback that starts games for you as a rookie is something we've never seen. They've been historically good at that. Can they continue that? Can you just bank on the 49ers doing that every year? And maybe someone like Ronnie Bell out of Michigan becomes a guy for the 49ers, or I really like the fifth and sixth round picks. I think the 49ers did pluck starters out of there or big time contributors out of this draft. I would say it's Darrell Luter, the fifth round corner out of South Alabama. Robert Beal, the fifth round edge rusher out of Georgia, who's got a lot of tools, 6'4", 250, runs 4.4. And the sixth rounder, D. Winters, who's very, very similar to Dre Greenlaw. And so those would be the ones I would look at that could go above expectations and potentially be those guys that they stole again on day three. But it's all about the kicker too for me. I mean, you draft a third round kicker, you better be good. And traditionally you don't find your kicker in the draft. It's It's really strange. You would think that that's a fairly safe pick, especially with a need at kicker. But over the last, I think the stat is over the last 10 years before this season, there was 17 kickers drafted, and only one of those 17 kickers got a second contract with the team that drafted him. So it's going to be tough, and there's going to be a lot of pressure and a lot of eyeballs on Jake Moody. We'll see if he's ready for it.
Yeah, believe it or not, I'm a Michigan fan. I couldn't remember the wide receiver's name. I'm knee-deep in baseball right now, but I watch Jake Moody a lot. He's very much like Robbie Gould. He's cocky. He's confident. And I want to be the kicking coach for the 49ers, if they would let me. Because I would just be like, hey, when the ball comes and they put it on the ground, you kick it. And see the upright? Kick it through those uprights because you're the kicker. And when he puts it there, kick it. And then after we score a touchdown and there's a kickoff, you put it on the tee and then you run at it and then you kick it. And I could be the I feel like I could be that coach. If they let me, give me a whistle maybe and some khakis and I'm good.
Yeah, it sounds like the 49ers special teams coordinator, that's kind of what he did. He put him through some paces in the workout, both in San Francisco or in Santa Clara and the workout on campus in Michigan, and, you know, gave him bad snaps and tried to make things as difficult as possible on him during those workouts. And he came out of it really impressed with the moxie of Jake Moody. And he's like, this is our guy. So the 49ers drafted him early to make sure nobody else got him.
And just like yell things at him from across the line, like they're like, hey, Jake, what kind of mood are you in today? Are you in a good mood? Are you in a bad mood? You know, stuff like that.
Hit fungos at him while he's trying to kick.
Ooh, yeah, throw stuff at him. All right, Super Bowl 50s in San Francisco, 2026. I mean, it's big for Levi's Stadium and the Niners. What does this mean for the city? What do you think?
I mean, it's always fun when there's an event like this. The last Super Bowl was super fun seeing all the events that were happening in the city and just cruising around or walking around, and me living in the city is really easy to go hit those things. And then, you know, fight the traffic to try to get to the game was not something I had tickets for anyway. But as the team has spoken about and as has been reported, they're, you know, putting more money into the stadium to try to attract events like this. And it takes the Warriors and Chase Center to have events and the Giants. And so just it's a real citywide, and seeing all the sports teams work together to bring a huge event like the Super Bowl is a really cool thing.
Wow, Brian, thanks for coming on, man. It's always good to talk Niners. I miss football, man. I miss it every single day. I'm knee-deep in baseball season right now with the San Francisco Giants and all they're doing. But it's always nice to shift gears, hear your voice, get you on here and talk some Niners football. So thanks for your time, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, FP.
Thanks to Brian Peacock for joining the show. He always gets us up to date on what's going on with the OTAs, the quarterback situation, the new defensive coordinator, whatever it is. Brian Peacock knows his 49ers like no other. Coming up next, Susan Slusser was on earlier today with Tolbert and Cope. So on the other side of the break, Susan Slusser on The Sports Leader.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.